I understand in the early days of the Anabaptist movement, whenever they would meet up with someone who they felt might be one of those who was following and part of that movement, the way that they would confirm that is by saying, "He is risen," and if the other person that they're meeting would say, "He is risen indeed," they would know that they are one of us. So let's try that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Hans, thank you so much for that introduction, because when I think of that whole story, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and the all the implications that come as a result of that, it is truly one of the greatest and most powerful times in all of history, what happened at the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. So laying that groundwork there for what's about to happen. Jesus has just been crucified. Jesus has just laid down his life. And he's taken away, and he's placed in the tomb of a rich person. And there must be a lot of despair. There must be a lot of anguish at what just happened. Because up to this time, Jesus was raising people from the dead. Jesus was performing miracles. Jesus was healing. Jesus was doing all kinds of things in miraculous ways. And he had his band of followers. He had his followers that would see these things. And now he's dead. Now he's in a tomb. And nobody really understands what's going on in that time frame between his death and his resurrection. But something great is about to happen. I'd like to just open it up just a little bit for you to share what the resurrection of Jesus means to you. Now, and then I'll get into what's about to happen. I'll get into the rest of the story. But I'd like to give you an opportunity. What is so special to you about the resurrection of Jesus? What does it mean to you? Just briefly, tell us what the resurrection of Jesus means to you.
New life.
Everlasting hope. Thank you.
Repentance happened, and atonement happened time and time again, but it was always a pattern.
Yes.
Now there's a break from that pattern towards something.
Yeah. Yes. Be careful, you're starting to preach my sermon. No, I'm sorry. No, that's fine. That's a good point. All right. That's right. The power of sin is broken. Anyone else? All of that is so true. And, you know, I don't think we pay enough attention. I don't think that we think often enough about the resurrection. But if we really stop and think about it, every Sunday when we get together, every Lord's Day when we get together, we are, in essence, remembering, without always saying anything about it, that this is the day that the Lord arose. And I hope that as we go through this time together, as we think about what Hans laid out there, and as we think then about the resurrection, I hope that we will leave from here with a greater appreciation, with a deeper love, with a much more of a devoted heart to the one who has made it possible to be restored into relationship back with God. But not only that, the one that has made it possible to live an abundant life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope that we leave from here with a greater and a more intense appreciation for the work of Jesus on the cross, but not only that, the work of Jesus through resurrection. One question I think we don't think often enough about is the question, why in the Christian worldview is the resurrection of Jesus so important? The why question. At least I don't. We've heard the story. We know that Jesus resurrected. We know that the right thing to say is that he resurrected to give us new life. He resurrected to break that cycle of Old Testament sacrifice and the system that went along with that. But not only that, he did it to bring us life. He did it to bring us that abundant life. And we don't often think about why is that so important. And that's I'd like to sort of examine that question just a little bit. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he says that if Christ did not resurrect from the dead, our faith is meaningless. Our faith is empty. There's no reason to believe in Jesus Christ if he did not rise from the dead. And so it appears from Paul's writings there that he views the resurrection of Jesus as something very foundational to the Christian faith, to the Christian belief, to the Christian worldview. It's something very foundational. If Jesus did not rise, then nothing has really changed. But why is it important? Why did Jesus rise? There are probably numerous reasons, but I want to focus in on one in particular. And Paul hints at this, that this reason that I want to focus on in his letter to the Romans. And so if you want to follow along, I'm going to read Romans 6, verses 1 through 14 to see and to get a picture. Paul is hinting at something here that I think is one of the answers to the question, why was the resurrection of Jesus so important? And why is it so important to the Christian tradition? I'm reading from the New King James Version, Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In the Old Testament, that Old Testament system, that Old Testament sacrifice for sin, there was a once a year offering of a lamb to take away the sins of the person offering that lamb. That was a once a year thing. It was a yearly occurrence. Paul says here that the sacrificial lamb of God died once. Died once. And there's a big difference there. There's a hint at why the resurrection of Jesus is so important, is that he died once for all. He broke that cycle of that yearly sacrifice of bringing a lamb or some kind of a sacrifice, an offering to atone or to take care of the sins of the past year. Because the same sacrificial lamb that died for the sins of the whole world rose again, or he resurrected, he not only provided the atonement for sin, but he also overcame death, thereby giving us both the forgiveness needed for our sins and the power to live above the death that sin always leads to. Sin always leads to death. We see that in the early part of human history. When Satan came and he got the woman to focus on herself, when he got her to focus on the fact that she could be like God, knowing good and evil, and she took of that fruit, that forbidden tree, that tree that they were not supposed to eat of, she took of that, and immediately death set in. Because that's what sin always does. Sin always leads to death. Sin doesn't lead to life, as so many people like to think it is. Like to think, you know, if I can just have a good time in life, that's going to be worth something. That's going to be something that I look forward to. Sin always leads to death. And the same sacrificial lamb who laid down his life, think about this. The same power that was there for him to lay down his life voluntarily was there for him to resurrect again. And that was something monumental, because that had never in the history of the Old Testament sacrificial system taken place, where a lamb that had been slain for the sins of that day or for the sins of that year, never had a lamb resurrected again. They always remained dead, and they always had to redo that same sacrifice again the next year. Something different happened here, because there was something at work that had never happened again, and that was that God was entering the picture through sacrifice, but not only that, he was entering the picture to bring new life. And Jesus himself rose from the dead. And Paul says in this passage in Romans that likewise, as Jesus died and resurrected, we need to consider ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is big stuff. That is a monumental thing that we need to rejoice in. That today we have access to something that the Old Testament people and the people leading up to this time of crucifixion never had access to. And that was not only the forgiveness of sins that was offered through Jesus Christ, but the ability to live above sin. That's big stuff. That's something we need to rejoice in more often. That's something we need to think about more often. Why is the resurrection so important? It's because it gives us life. It gives us that new life to live above the sin that had previously kept us in death. That's why it's so important. Had the sacrificial lamb not risen from the dead and conquered the death sin always brings about, we would still be left with yearly sacrifices for our sins. And I don't know about you, but that it just when I think about what they had to go through in the Old Testament sacrificial system, it seems to me that after some time, you would just begin to think this is really hopeless. This is really something that it may bring me a glimmer of peace when I offer this sin or this sacrifice for sin. But then I continue to live and go back and be involved in the things that I needed to offer that sacrifice for. I continue to do that year after year after year. It seems to me like that would not be a reason to hope. That would not be a reason to even continue trying anymore. But Jesus comes and he does something about that. Jesus' death and resurrection addresses the original fall of mankind and restores something the Old Testament system of sacrifices never provided. It restores that direct communion with the Godhead. It restores something that was lost back when mankind first fell. And it also gives us the day-by-day power to live above sin and to bring us that new life. And that is something we need to rejoice in. In closing, I like to think of it that the Old Testament system of sacrifice as a once-a-year Band-Aid placed on a festering wound. But the New Testament once-for-all sacrifice that Paul talks about begins the healing process by removing the source of the infection that is causing that festering wound to keep coming back. I remember my Uncle Larry was in a horrendous silo accident where he was up changing the unloader. For those of you who know anything about how they used to feed cows, you'd go up there and change the unloaders too because the silage level had gotten down too low. And so he had to come down and change the chute so that it would come, he had to go up there and change the chute so that he could continue feeding his cows. And somehow his leg slipped between the outside rung of concrete that the silo was made of and the unloader that would carry the silage over and shoot it down, and it just tore up the calf of his leg. Now, it was gruesome. I saw some pictures of it, but it was interesting to me that months later, even after he was out walking around and you know doing fairly well again, a wound would appear on his leg. It would start turning purple, and you know you could tell that something was going on in there. And he would go back to the doctor, and the doctor would lance it and get down and find that maybe there was a kernel of corn or some little piece of silage that was still down in that wound. And it didn't show up right away, but with time it would just fester and fester until it would break out. And it reminded me that the once-a-year sacrifice was sort of just like putting a Band-Aid over that. In other words, if they would have just cleaned up the outside of the of that wound and got it looking, you know, fairly decent again to where it could heal over again and just put a Band-Aid over it, it might would last for a while, but I can guarantee you that with time it would have started festering again and it would have showed itself by the process that it did. But the once for all sacrifice, the New Testament sacrifice of the sacrificial Lamb of God, it goes down to the core of the problem. It removes the piece of silage. It removes the body of sin. And it sets the wound to a place to where new life can begin to heal it back together again. And it takes care of the sin problem. It takes care of the infection, the source of the infection. That's what the New Testament once for all sacrifice does for us. It removes that, but then the resurrection power gives it the ability to heal back up together again. It allows new life to begin closing up the wound that never healed by placing yearly Band-Aids on the wound. That, my friends, is one reason why the resurrection of Jesus Christ should be so important to us. It's because it does something to restore what was broken in the first place. And it gives us that new life. The question is, are we walking in that new life? Do we really understand what power is available for us? And the way that we continue to live in that power is to daily take up our cross and follow Jesus and do the things that he says we are to do and to follow his example, to give ourselves daily. And in that way, we can live above the power that sin so often has over us. Are you thankful for not only the death of Jesus, but are you also thankful for the resurrection of Jesus? That the combination is so beautiful. The combination is one that we should rejoice in often and we should think about more often. May God bless you as you walk in that newness of life.